Blog Talk Radio.
We are victorious. We are victorious. We are victorious.
Oh, Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. How he's worthy. He's worthy. The great I am is worthy to be praised. And that's what we ought to worship our King. We ought to worship him because he's worthy. He is worthy to be praised. The one and only true and living holy God. There is none other like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for this day. You brought us all home safely. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for how you supplied our needs throughout this day. Thank you, Lord, for traveling mercy, your keeping power. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I want to thank everyone that's here today. This is called prayer. This broadcast is called Prayer That Advances. Prayer is the engine that advances the kingdom. And tonight we're going to be talking about how you're going to learn how the kingdom is advanced through prayer. And just want to share a couple of things. My name, I am Ambassador Delia Jackson, your host and speaker tonight, and the Holy Spirit is always going to be the teacher. Amen. So, you know, it's such a release to know that. And I just want you to make sure that you have your Bible, your pen, paper, whatever you're going to take notes with. God's going to share some things with us that we ought to know about prayer. We need to, first of all, there needs to be a repentance about prayer for those who have not understood the prayer through the kingdom perspective, because without understanding of the kingdom, there's no way that we could be praying according to God's will. Now, God will meet us where we at because we don't know, but you'll see that we had a lot of hit and miss in our prayer time if you don't understand God's original intent from the beginning. Amen. And so without the knowledge of the kingdom, you really are ineffective in your prayers. And because God knows those who don't know about this, the way God intended us to know about prayer is that he meets us where we at. Amen. Amen. So you can write at the top of your paper how prayer is the engine that advances the kingdom. How do prayer advances the kingdom? Get this over here. Amen. All right, so a few things we need to know for those who don't know, that prayer without standing, understanding, and application, applying the truth and principles of prayer is ineffective. It's ineffective. Especially if you don't understand anything. Anybody that's praying without understanding, the highest truth of understanding, which is the kingdom, you're not as effective as you could be. I'll say it that way. Amen. I need this thing to move so I can open this line here. All right. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. All right. So prayer is the most important activity that humanity can be doing. Prayer is the most important activity of humanity. Okay? It's the most important anything other than anything else that we are doing. Prayer. And we're going to see that tonight. Prayer is the most important activity of humanity. Now, John Wesley put it like this. He must have known something about prayer. He says, God will not without man, and man cannot without God. Amen? And you'll understand that in a little while. All right? So, prayer is man exercising legal authority on earth to invite heaven's influence on the planet. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, that his influence, the influence of the kingdom of God, would come on this planet and impact this planet with God's heavenly influence. Amen. So another note for you, prayer should be purpose-driven, motivated by the knowledge of God's will. And as we read 1 John 5, 14 and 15, let's open up our word to that. That's what I forgot to do. Okay. We just have to do it like this. Right. As we open up the word to 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, I want you to see what that scripture is saying. So get ready to turn your Bibles, because we got a few scriptures to hit. And as an ambassador, that's how you ought to speak anyway. First John 5, verse 14 and 15. And it says this: "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him." Okay, so you cannot pray according to his will if you don't have any knowledge of the kingdom. Okay, you cannot pray according to his will if you don't have any knowledge of the kingdom. You can't, because prayer should be purpose-driven, motivated by the knowledge of God's will. And if you have no knowledge of the kingdom, you don't know what God's original intent, his will, was from the beginning, before Adam fell, and how his son, our big brother Jesus, King Jesus, restored that back to us. My. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. So prayer, here's another note. Prayer is calling forth what God has already purposed and predestined, continuing his work of creation and the establishment of his plan for the earth. My. Now, it always be so much. Okay, show me how to do this. God wants us, he wants to give us a new outlook on prayer, because some of us was trained another way, you know, from the religious system way. And so a lot of people, that's why that was the smallest room, you know, that was the smallest group that would meet. We have this big old group meet on Sunday, then we have this small group meet when it's time to pray. And one of the things I want to say about prayer is this, when we come together as corporate prayer, and it's very important too, but your private prayer time ought to be the one you desire the most, because that's constant communion with God, constant communion with God throughout the day. You know, you're supposed to be getting your receiving proper download when you're in prayer, strategies for our lives and purpose and our assignment. So God's supposed to be giving those things, but you got to take time out to be with him. Okay? Prayer is where God, through us, brings change into the earth. So prayer is where we get strategies to accomplish our assignment and purpose in the earth. And so as you implement what he shows you in that time of prayer. I don't know if you remember when Jesus said, "I only do or say what my father say or do what my father do." And how did he know to do those things? Was through time alone with the Father in prayer. God gives us visions. He shows us what he wants us to do for that day. If we take the time out to be with him, seeking him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, and he will show you. And so as he shows you, you implement it by submitting to the download strategy that he gives us. And then you will see the results manifest. My. Because you're doing it according to his will, his agenda, and his plan. My. Lord, have your way. So that was just a couple of things before we get started. as some people say, the introduction. So as kingly intercessors, that's what we are. We're interceders. We're God. We're called God's intercessors as the royal priests. You ever think about that? What do the priests do? The royal priesthood, you know, what is their assignment? Their assignment is to stand in the gap, as some say, or intercede, or do intercessory prayer, or the watchman on the wall, however people say it. But as royal priesthood, that's every believer, every born-again believer. Amen? So, I have to cut some of this stuff short. All right. So, prayer is this medium of cooperation. That's why John Wesley, when he quoted, he says that God will not without man, and man cannot without God. That's why he tells us, he instructed disciples in Matthew 6:10. He says, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done. I heard somebody say that, you know, we've been praying that we go to the kingdom, and God and Jesus, King Jesus, told us to pray that the kingdom come to the earth. My. So prayer is therefore the most important activity of humanity, because God will not without man, and man cannot without God. So it's this medium of cooperation with mankind, and God has given mankind in Genesis 1:26. You can write that down because I can't do all these verses. When he gave mankind dominion, and so Adam lost that dominion, but Jesus restored it back, and so now we got it again. Let's go. And so he says that he has given us, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion. That means you are the rule and reign. And that's why there's a partnership between heaven and earth. And mankind is, God is using man. God is getting his work done in the earth through mankind that is submitted to him. And that's through prayer. And that's how prayer is advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 9, and I'm going to pray. We're going to turn to Matthew 9, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started. So I'm going to welcome everyone here. Thank you for being here. And we're going to be learning how prayer advances the kingdom a little bit more tonight. Let's get ready. Hope you're ready to turn them pages and write these scriptures down. It's a bunch of them, but I can't go through them all, so you're going to have to write some of them down. Let's see, Matthew 9. Let's go there. So later on, well, I'm gonna try to stop around 9 o'clock, and so those who need prayer and those who, you know, have requested, want us to intercede on, the line will be open at that time. That number would be 760-283-0834, 760-283-0834 for those who are on different devices at this time. All right, let me get this open. Now, I'm going to start in prayer. We're going to open up in prayer. We're going to praise the Lord. Amen. Father, as we come before you tonight, we thank you for this time to be in your presence. We thank you for this time to come at this table that you have prepared for us in the presence of our enemy. And we thank you that you've given everything we need to overcome our enemy. And we decree and declare that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. We decree and declare, Lord, that anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that we will cast it down in the name of Jesus. We subject our minds to the Lordship of Jesus Christ tonight. And we thank you that you have given us 2020 vision, that we may see correctly and our ears to hear, but thus said the Spirit of God. So have your way, Lord, as we go over these few scriptures and reveal to us and the direction you want us to go and how you want us to pray for tonight. And we just pray that your will be done in the lives of people, that people's lives would be changed, that people would repent and get under your rule and your reign, Lord God, that souls that are out there, Lord, that we decree and declare that those who are plagued with evil spirits, that they would be delivered and healed as they submit to the King of Kings. I cancel all plans and forces of evil sent against our lives. Let the work of evil be burned by your Holy Spirit. Let men repent. Let them repent of evil and return to righteousness. We decree that no evil be established in our lives, but let your righteousness be established. I loose us from all evildoers and evil soul ties in the name of Jesus. Have your way tonight, Lord. We pray your will be. Pray souls, lives will be changed. Minds that have been blinded by the enemy will be loosed from that. We bind up the strong man and spoil his goods. We blind him in the name of Jesus. Have your mighty way, Lord, tonight. That your kingdom come, that your will be done, that your kingdom be advanced and be established through preaching and teaching and healing. So have your way, Lord, tonight. And the people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your way, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Now, Matthew 9:38. Let's read what that says. We're talking about how does prayer advances the kingdom? Prayer, let me read 37 first. It says, then saith he unto his disciples. Let me read 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. 37. Then said the Lord unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now that is what we can be praying for to the Lord of harvest. And that's one list too, that that the Lord of harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, I've been in the religious system for 20 something years, and in the kingdom, I don't know, this third or the fourth, learning from the kingdom perspective, and I've seen many people go to evangelists, as missionaries, preaching Jesus Christ crucified only, and not preaching the kingdom. Because as Christ ambassadors, we ought to be preaching the kingdom and teaching Christ. Supposed to be doing both. The kingdom is what God's agenda is. That's all Jesus talked about when he was here. And even after his resurrection, when he came back, he was talking about for 40 days with the disciples, the kingdom. So that's how much priority should have been in this kingdom message all along. But somehow mankind has got off the track. And so, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. What laborers? You're talking about kingdom citizens, kingdom ambassadors. What did I write in my notes here? Royal priesthood. Those laborers that are saturated with the kingdom message, understanding the kingdom message, living the kingdom message, because you can say kingdom, 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 and have no lifestyle. You must have a lifestyle of the kingdom. You must, the words that you speak must be kingdom, and it must be in your spirit, man. Not just academic or academia or just a subject. The kingdom is a lifestyle. It's not a fad. It's not, behavior modification. It's not none of that. It's a lifestyle. And so when people win souls and telling them about the kingdom, that people would enter the kingdom, there need to be people like that's been saturated with the kingdom, that lives this, that, you know, eat and sleep this, okay, lifestyle. So those are the laborers that should be sent out, amen? Because we got many people that are laboring out there, but they're not with God's agenda. They're not with his agenda or his will, amen? So those, if you want to put that on your prayer list, you know, when you're corporate or when you're private, those are things you need to be praying for. Not only that, but that the people of God, with those who will hear the message of the kingdom, that they will have an understanding, that their ears will be healed, their eyes will be healed. They will hear and see and recognize that this must be truth that they've been looking for and they just didn't know what it was. And so that they would hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they may be filled. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And so we ought to pray to the Lord of the harvest that the kingdom would be advanced in that way. So when he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven," see, prayer advances the kingdom. Jesus even told him to pray that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's one of the ways, okay? There's some other things I'm going to show you tonight. So this Matthew 9:38 is a launch pad through obedience. A lot of people know this, but they won't obey and do it. Because this could be anywhere. You can be at the market, and God says, "I want you to say something to them about the kingdom." You could be at the doctor's office. You could be at the bus stop. You know, anywhere, at the car dealer, or, you know, at the car maintenance place or whatever. You could be anywhere, and God is speaking to you to speak to this person. But are we going to be obedient? Righteousness and obedience is the culture of the kingdom. And so these are the laborers that God wants to be out there. So every born-again believer's primary assignment is to win souls. That's the reason why you're here. Your assignment is to win souls. That's every believer's primary. You got specific assignments, but that's every primary. And Proverbs 11:30 talks about winning souls is wise. Amen? So, and that we are sent here before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. In Ephesians 1:4, it tells you that you were chosen before the foundation of the world. For time is this, that you were born, you and I were born, which is the right time. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. And then 2 Corinthians 5:18-20, verse 20 tells you that you are ambassadors. And when you look up ambassador, it tells you that you're a representative of the kingdom of God. And so as you witness, you know, Matthew 24:14 says that this gospel of the kingdom of God must be preached to a world as a witness to every nation. So in 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5, because it's very important. We're talking about how does the prayer advances the kingdom. I'm gonna show you in a little bit. Stay with me. 2 Corinthians 5. Um, 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the mystery of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in these trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What did he commit to us? The word of reconciliation. What else did he give us? He given us the ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. That's winning souls. And he's given us the words to speak. So he's made it easy for us. All we got to do is be the conduits that we're supposed to be as in Christ's ambassadors, and in submission and obedience of the kingdom culture. And then you will see lives be changed. You'll see people find out the truth before, you know, when they need to find it out. Okay. So that now then, verse 20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So we pray you in stead. We're standing in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. That's every believer's primary assignment. You have a specific one, but the every believer. It's not just to the evangelist and the what's the other one? And missionaries. Okay? So just wanted you to have some understanding of that. That's why it's important that when he's given us that word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, it's important that we study. It's important that we study to show ourselves approval unto God, a workman not that rightly divides the word of truth, rightly divided. So 2 Timothy 2:15, if you want to look it up, that we will be skilled with understanding and ministering to others. And that we minister in love, okay? Amen. Praise be to God. Amen, amen. So how do we advance the kingdom through prayer? Let's look at, here we go. Let me show you, tell you what scripture to go to. 1 second. 1 second. And that scripture would be, I think it's Acts 5. And before we go there, you might want to put your finger there for Acts 5. So advancing the kingdom is my friend John Eckert put it, Apostle John Eckert, he puts it, he says, prayer, the engine of the kingdom. Disciples were told to pray. He told them to pray, thy kingdom come, Matthew 6:10. This means that the kingdom could not come or advance apart from prayer. That's a note right there. The kingdom could not, when he told the disciples in Matthew 6:10, he says, pray this, thy kingdom come. So it means that the kingdom could not or advance apart from prayer. That also is evidence of what John Wesley wrote when he says, God will not without man. And man cannot without God. So even the Son is to ask the Father, ask of me, in Psalms 2, verse 8, he told me, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the end of the earth your possession. So he's talking to his own Son. So if he's telling Jesus to ask, this God is not going to give to us until we ask. And that will be in prayer, okay? And you got to ask the right things. When you in sync with God, you don't ask them any old thing. So prayer was a very necessary thing for Jesus to assume his ministry on the earth. So he prayed for nights as he was preaching the kingdom. Very, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. some ideas of how we can get along with God. You have to find someone. You have to make it. Mark 1:35 tells us these things. So he needed to be in constant, talking about Jesus, direct communication with his Father in heaven. Jesus prayed all night before choosing the 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. That's in Luke 6, 12 and 13. So prayer was a part of Jesus' ministry. It was a part of his ministry and an important part of advancing the kingdom. That's number one. We must talk about the model for us, how we ought to live on earth. And that's what Jesus did. He showed us how we ought to be living. And so prayer was a part of his ministry and an important part of advancing the kingdom. That's a note for you. Talking about Jesus. Prayer was the key to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit after the ascension of Jesus to heaven. So the apostles returned immediately to soon join them immediately to Jerusalem, where they gathered in the upper room. All the believers soon joined them, and they continue constantly in prayer. So this was a corporate prayer here. In Acts 1:14, you'll see that. So on the day of Pentecost, 120 believers were already assembled in the upper room praying. My. See how important prayer is? And so, turn to Acts 2, verses 1 and 4. I'm going to read from the NIV. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Just imagine that. And filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amen. So there has been an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in history because of what? Prayer. My. See how important prayer is? That's the most important activity of humanity, prayer. So the church continuing prayer after Pentecost. Not just on the Pentecost day, they continued in prayer after the Pentecost. The church was a prayer engine for the advancement of the kingdom. That's a note. The church was a prayer engine for the advancement of the kingdom. Amen? Amen, amen. Yes. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that's in Acts 2, 42. You write that down. And the apostle gave themselves continually to prayer. See how important that prayer is? Very important. And these days, people don't think prayer is important because it has not worked for them, because we're doing it properly, the way according to God's agenda, purpose, plan, okay, for us. So, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known. This is an act. 3 and 4, to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And he said, we will turn this responsibility, care of widows, over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. So their diligence to prayer and word was a key to their success in ministry. So that's very important. Prayer and the word. It's a key to their success in ministry. So the apostolic ministry is a ministry of prayer and the word. My. So what I say, turn to X, X5, I said, let's turn there. X5. Let me get there. X5:17, X5:18-20, and I'll be reading from the new NIV. They arrest the apostle and put him in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full measure of this new life. Now, there are many breakthroughs in the city, regions, and nations that happened because of angelic assistance and intervention. Angels brought deliverance to the apostles and released judgment upon the enemies of the kingdom. Angels are invisible agents that serve the invisible king and his citizens. That's us. So the apostles received angelic assistance to help them overcome. What were they overcoming? We got to recognize when we are in a resistance to the kingdom. We got to recognize when we're in a resistance to the kingdom. That's why I had that piece of paper out. Okay. We got to recognize that. That's very important. When you're having a resistance to the kingdom, you got to remember we got two worlds that we live in. We live in a spiritual world and a physical world. And you got to recognize when there is a resistance to the kingdom. And you see, I talked about that the angelic brought deliverance to the apostles, released judgment. What they do? Release judgment upon the enemies of the kingdom. And so Peter was delivered from prison and told to go and preach in a temple. Okay, then the angel smote Herod, and the word of God grew and multiplied as a result. So angels are involved in advancing the kingdom. That's a note. Advancing the kingdom of God. So prayer has a lot to do with that. When Peter was in jail, the people got together. I thought I had that scripture here. But the people of the church got together. Their prayer that advanced the kingdom, their prayer advanced, was the engine that advanced the kingdom, because it released Peter from the prison with the angelic assistance in advancing the kingdom. So when we're praying, God is sending us some assistance. And I don't know if you can see, but you only can see it if you're in the spirit realm. Can't be in the flesh. So angels help in evangelism. So it's important that we pray for people who are coming to know the kingdom message. Probably never heard it before, who've been born again already, and just need to humble themselves, be teachable, and be hungry and thirsting after righteousness, and study to show themselves approved unto God, and take heed to what they hear, that they may understand, so the enemy won't snatch what has been sown in their own hearts. So an angel directed Philip to go to Gaza in Acts 2:6. Okay? So we're hearing things from the spiritual world. That means we're getting direction. You got to be led. There's many that is led by the Spirit. The Bible says that we are the sons of God. So when you're hearing God tell you, speak to you to do certain things, especially some stuff that does seem like out of the norm, it may not make any sense, but if you know the voice of God and you know he's speaking to you, I suggest that you would submit to his will and his way. Amen. You want to stay under that umbrella of God's authority. Because when you step from under there, that's when the enemies know, you just give him permission to attack. My. So prayer as a church, people of God, not a building, it releases the will of God upon the earth. It releases. We got to understand, God wants us to get a different outlook on prayer. He wants to repent and change our thinking. Prayer is one of the ways we release the will of God upon the earth. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us, and there's some things that we have to do. And you know the enemy going to try to stop us. But if you don't know or have any kingdom knowledge about through prayer, the enemy will block you that way. He will try to block you. Okay? So he knows what we don't know and what we do know. That's why we got to continue to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. The more we continue to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, the more God reveals to us. Amen? So prayer is one of the ways to seek the kingdom first. You seeking his rule and his reign. You seeking how he wants you to, he gives you the strategy on how to fulfill the assignment that he gave you. So prayer should be first. Amen? You getting your orders from the king. My. Hallelujah. So that's why prayer and the word must be combined too. And I don't know if you understand when Daniel prayed, when the angel did get to him, because they had some other diabolical demons that was blocking one of the angel, Gabriel, and God had to send Michael to help him to unclog that traffic jam. The enemy coming, you know, trying to block Daniel's prayer. And when the angel did get to him, he says that we heard your prayers the minute you said it. He just that there was spiritual warfare in the realm of the spirit realm. My. So you'll see you'll start understanding those things as the more you study the word of God. So we should pray with understanding, and understanding the will of God will help us pray correctly. My. Amen. So the word of God is the will of God, and we are not to be unwise, but understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17 tells us that, and that prayer also helps us walk perfectly and completely. This is a note right here. In the will of God, when you're in prayer, because he reveals things. A person of prayer, God reveals to them. He reveals things that those who don't have time to go spend time with God, the one who's ordering their steps, the one who is want to have thoughts towards them that are of good and are not of evil, that they would have expected in. But, you know, God doesn't make us do that. You know, he gives us free will. So you short circuit your blessings or your guidance and your direction in your life by not seeking him first. All right, I had a prayer list of, let me see what time it is. What time is it? 8:50. I feel like a little bit more time. I had a prayer list of kingdom over the mind, that we ought to pray over the minds of our children, you know, grands, community, any children that God places you care, whether you're a guardian or a parent, grandparents, or we need to pray over the minds of our children because the enemy is after their mind. Anytime Satan wants to plant in the minds of our children, what do you want to plant in their minds? Gender identity for school curriculum that parents can't even opt out. And satanic worship, doctrinate the young children, talking about kindergarten now, elementary, before they even get to be a teenager. You know, so we need to pray over the minds of our children. If you got a, you know, list, we need to start writing these lists down and pray over these, not just in corporate, but in our private time, because there's a war going on. God already asked me, he said, what's in the mind of our children? Do we know what's in their mind? Do we know kind of stuff the enemy has planted out here on Google? And they might be looking for something else. I found some kind of porno stuff on Google. I asked for something like a skirt that I was going to, copy and paste and put on a poster board as a teaching tool. And when I went on there, I found some porno stuff on there. I'm like, why they got to see what kids can reach this? They doing an assignment on Google. So we gotta teach our children, because the world going to teach it, and they're going to plant seeds in their minds and in their hearts. And they're not going to be able to get these pictures out of their mind until we give them wisdom and not let them be defenseless. We got to teach them God's way. We got to pour in them what God said pour into the children. And we can't, the devil not playing. He is as bold as he want to be. And so our children are going to be defenseless if we don't start going back to home devotionals, sit at the table with them when they get up, when they're going down, teaching them the kingdom, that it be in their, like, front list, that it be in their mind. That's what God wants it to be in their mind, that their lifestyle, that it just spews out when they open their mouth, kingdom. Their life, that you can tell that they're different, that they're the wheat and not the tear. So we got to get back to that. And I'm continuing to believe God for this Kingdom Academy. You know, and that not just being one Kingdom Academy, but that it be start multiply. Okay, that it would multiply so that our children would be inundated with the things of the King. Amen. Amen. You know, they got all kinds of stuff out. They got stuff in the games, they got stuff in the cartoons, they got stuff in these TV shows. So we got to counteract what the enemy is doing. If you don't counteract, then they're being defenseless. They just succumb to it. They need to know they got a choice. Choose life. Now, the other thing is, as we do these teachings, that we're teaching the kingdom principles and precepts, the conducts, the lifestyles, the worship in our King, we got to pray for our leaders over the flocks. You know, we got leaders that don't want to teach people of God the kingdom because they're scared they're going to lose their money or lose some people or whatever. They think they're going to lose, but they choose to disobey the King then obey. And some don't know, and that's why when we come in, as we go out as the laborers that the Lord of the harvest send into the field. God says in John 10, let's go to John 10. John 10, verse 16. This is what God says to us. This is very important. When you start learning the kingdom, your prayers change. You'll be praying for all the other stuff. You'll be praying what God wants us to deal with. John 10, 16. Let's read what that says. John 10, 16 says, and let me read 14. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. This red letter, Jesus is speaking, and am known of mine. So as the Father know me, know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now Jesus said this, that there's some sheep that has not been brought into the fold yet. And that's where, when we come out, when he send the Lord of the harvest, send the laborers out into the field. Remember that harvest, we've been talking about the harvest is white and ripe, and ready to be picked. And how long they've been talking about that? So the harvest probably is rotten now. Now we got it, when we get them, we got to, they got to unlearn the stuff that they learned and unravel all that stuff so they can wrap their minds around the kingdom perspectives. Now, my mind. They says the hard learning is unlearning all that layers of stuff that we've been getting for years. My. So turn with me to John 17. And remember what he says in John 10:16 about there's some sheep that is not in our fold yet, and that he says there shall be one. He says, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. And remember in 2 Corinthians when we read 5:18-20 when it talks about us standing in his stead. Look what Jesus said in John 17:20. He says, neither pray I for these alone. Oh, Jesus is praying for us. Not alone, though, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. Now, what did he give us in 2 Corinthians 5:18-20? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, and he gave us the words of reconciliation. As ambassadors of Christ, we only speak what our government speaks, right? So, verse 20 is telling us that he's praying for those also which shall believe on Jesus through their words. That's through the words that we speak as we stand in his stead, that the sheep that has not entered into his fold yet shall hear his voice. My. So we got work to do. Okay, we got work to do. He left us an assignment that we must do. All believers, all born again believers, must be born again. My. Have your way, Lord. And so, as we pray for those who will hear the voice of the Lord, as we preach the kingdom, teach the kingdom, and that will be in some of these churches, that the leaders over this flock, over God's flock, that have never heard of this kingdom, that will hear the voice of God and come and learn of him. My. So. We pray that they will have ears to hear. There'll be healing of their minds, healing of the ears, that they'll be hearing and seeing the kingdom message with understanding. Amen. That they will be a people that is teachable and humble, that they may enter, that they may experience the kingdom lifestyle. Amen. Because a lot of people born again, but they refuse to humble themselves and be teachable, to learn, put all that they've learned with all the letters behind their names and the PhDs and all those stuff, and just sit and learn, sit under the feet of God and learn the kingdom message, the kingdom lifestyle, and be saturated with understanding. But you can't get it unless you're teachable and you're humble. God won't give it to you because you don't want it. The people that want it are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He said, they are the ones that I shall fill. Amen. So I have one more prayer request here. I'm going to pray for my brother Chris Perkins. He said, please, everyone pray. Keep me in your prayers for healing, that I will continue and fully do God's will and live his way. God is doing some great things in my life, and I want to stay committed to his will and way. Amen. And that is a definite change of prayer request. You know, we ask for different things, but are we praying that we will stay in the will of the Father, that we hold each other up in prayer, that we pray one for another? Bible says that when one is overcome spiritually, ye that are spiritual are to restore him. Okay, and then it's a warning after that that we ought to be careful when we're restoring one that we don't get caught up. So that means you got to stay prayed up, stay filled up with God's word, and we hold each other up in prayer. Amen? Because sometimes we get weak. The enemy try to get in there and trying to bombard us. That's why we ought to come once in a while to corporate prayer and hold each other up. There are corporate prayer talks about when what we talked about tonight, confronted with some blockages in our life that the enemy of the kingdom will try to block our way from completing assignment that God has given us, or bringing some trials and tribulations in our life. That God give us grace to stand in the midst of it. You know, he don't take us out of stuff. Some of these things he don't take us out. It's, we got to go through. And so, but he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us his grace that is sufficient through whatever trial and tribulation is that we may be facing. And God is able and willing. And are we, as Ephesians 3:20 says, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh within us. So we got to stop thinking that God's going to do everything. He's not going to do everything. He finished on the seventh day. He rested. The rest of the stuff is what's being done in the earth. He gave us everything we need for life and godliness. He even gave us power over all devils, that we shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. And in this world, he says, I don't know who this is for, but he said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. And you can see that in John 16:33. He said, didn't I tell you that you're going to have, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations? He said, but I have overcome the world. I've taken the sting out of it for you. My. Lord, have your way. All right. I think I'm just going to stop right there. Anybody have any comments, prayer, requests, something you want to add to? And the lines are open. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So prayer is the most important activity of humanity, because God will not without man, and man cannot without God. His kingdom will not come, and his will not be done until we cooperate in the medium of prayer. My. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, this is the time that we are to be getting together to pray. Anybody have any prayer requests? Anybody have any, you call it those things that are blocking in your life? You know, there may be the enemy working against you, as long as you're doing the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Have your way. Well, we thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to start praying. And if anybody don't have anything, you got anything to say, just jump on in there. If you're on other devices, call in 760-283-0834. And we're glad to hear from you. You know, iron sharpens iron. And as we touch and agree in prayer, it's awesome. Amen. God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to pray for leaders tonight. Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy 2:1-3, it says, kings, praying for all men. Kings, all who are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. And for this good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, that we pray for our leaders. Amen. That's leaders in your home, leaders of your country, leaders in your job, leaders, you know, wherever you got with somebody as a leader. You know, we need to pray for those in leadership. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we pray that you open their ears to discipline and command that they return from iniquity. We're talking about leaders. That doors will continue to open so that the utterance of the mystery of your kingdom may be preached to every nation. That there would be teachable spirits, hunger and thirst after righteousness, ears to hear God's instruction with understanding, hearts like flesh. Lord, we pray that your seed will land on good ground and germinate and grow, and that they become rooted and built up in God's love and in your word. Lord, we pray that your word will dwell in each of us richly, that we'll be willing to do the will of the Father. That it's because it's you that willing us to will and do the will of the Father. So when they are converted, we pray for those who will hear the message of the kingdom, when they are converted, to strengthen their brethren, that they will go back and teach others. Pray that their faith would not fail. My. So Father, we pray for leaders, that you would deliver our leaders from evil, uproot and dismantle all evil strongholds, deceptions they participate in, and bring them face to face with you as you did Saul or Paul, and let them repent of their sins and seek to be renewed in their understanding in Jesus' name. We pray that the leaders and people who walk in darkness in our nation see the light, and let your light shine upon those in the shadow of darkness. Let your government and peace continually increase in our nation. Let your glory be declared among our people and your wonders in our nation. Raise up godly leaders in our land who will lead your people in integrity and righteousness. May the families of our people be blessed and praised. We praise your great and awesome name, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, have your way. Heavenly Father, your word says that you had a plan for each of our lives. You have given us a purpose to fulfill in this world, and you have redeemed us because of your love. I ask you to open our spiritual eyes so that we can clearly see the specific purposes you have for us, that we want to complete those purposes with joy, with the knowledge that we have accomplished your will for our life in Jesus' name. Oh, have your mighty way. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that your word says that if two of us agree on earth as touching anything, that we shall ask it, and it shall be done for us of our Father which is in heaven. Oh, have your way, Lord. Have your way amongst the people of God. We come against all celestial barricades in the name of Jesus. All satanic maneuvers and barriers, block, encumbrance, and hindrance that obstruct, hinder, and prohibit movement in the spirit realm and frustrate the progress of a vision, a dream, a mandate, mission, prayer, or the plans of God for our life. Chains and fetters and shackles or anything that confines movement, hinders prayers, and causes captivity, oppression, and bondage. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke and cancel and destroy every assignment and attack of the enemy, and cancel every curse of negative words ever spoken over our lives. In the powerful name of Jesus, have your way, Lord. I cancel every assignment of the enemy that is over our life, our family, our finances, our careers, and marriages. In the name of Jesus, we come against every diabolical counsel against the people of God. In the name of Jesus, have your way tonight, Lord God, amongst your people, Lord God. We pray that we thank you that shackles would be broken, chains would be broken in people's lives, or cords of sin would be severed in the name of Jesus. With those things, soul ties would be severed, ungodly soul ties would be severed, and that the be replaced with godly soul ties in the name of Jesus. Have your mighty way, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We decree and declare all these things before you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We in the name of Jesus, I command every witch and warlock to take the name of our children off their tongue. I loose confusion against every satanic, demonic conspiracy attached to drugs off our seed in the name of Jesus. Let every demonic force behind the drug demon of space be scattered by the blood of Jesus. The young adults of Philadelphia or wherever you are located at has overcome every strategy of hell against their life. The plan behind the drug is exposed and canceled in the spiritual realm. I command this demon back to the pit of hell in Jesus' name. I decree that no death or destruction of the soul shall come to anyone smoking. Father, I ask that you rescue their soul from destruction by the blood of Jesus. I decree that the young adults in Philadelphia, or wherever you're located at, has received the plan of God for their lives through the people of God. Father, shake those that are addicted to whatever drug of their choice until they begin to look like you. I decree that the hand of God will shake the devil out of the young adults and our children in Jesus' name. Father, give the young people a melody from heaven in their hearts. Take everything that they are and make them young men and women of God. I decree that at the hand of God shall shake the spirit of death off of their souls in Jesus' name. I decree that the hand of God will shake the glory of God to be released off of their soul in Jesus' name. Jesus, revive the spirit and mind to live again. I call the young adults of Philadelphia or wherever you're located at, kings and queens for the kingdom of God. No other name shall they answer to. The young adults are more than conquerors, and they will be proven by living spiritually and not dying. In the name of Jesus, I decree that young adults will remove out of demonic drug comas in Jesus' name. Even the spirit of lethargic and slothfulness in the name of Jesus. I decree that the overdoses will start immediately. Overdoses will stop immediately in Philadelphia and whatever location that our people are, the people of God are in the name of Jesus. Father, shake out of their mind, spirit, and soul the desire and addiction to all street drugs. Take the taste out of their mouth, the desire out of their heart, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I decree this is the fight of the young life. They will live and grow through it and come out victorious in Jesus' name. I decree that their spirits are being shaken into the new in Christ. Father, keep shaking those addicts addicted to drugs until they begin to look, walk, talk, and carry the character and love of God. I decree that after this is over, there is life more abundantly. Father, allow the presence of God to dwell among them while they're in a crack house, bars, street corners. Allow your presence to rest on their hearts in Jesus' name. Father God, you are the bishop of all souls. They all belong to you. I call forth the souls of all that are suffering from the addiction of whatever space they're taking. I decree that their minds are in perfect peace and will no longer be an opening for any demonic forces to take control. I decree that death has no sting over the young adults. I say they shall live and not die. In the name of Jesus, I decree that any spells of death and trickery and any misfortune related to space is released off the young adults in Jesus' name. I decree that any and all demonic walls of drugs is broken down in the city of Philadelphia, wherever you're located, where the people of God is, and that they cannot be rebuilt in Jesus' name. I decree that all that are suffering from the bondage of drugs, alcohol, will suffer no more. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I disarm all demonic forces, every deadly weapon formed against any smoking space. In the name of Jesus, I command that the supply of space, heroin, crack, meth, ecstasies, and whatever new stuff they got out there, in the name of Jesus, marijuana be dried up immediately in Jesus' name. Father, I break down every demonic cubit and tear down the walls that try to close in on the young adults in Jesus' name. Satan, I decree that you have lost your battle in the heavenlies and also on the streets of Philadelphia and wherever God's people are located at in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, manifest. Thy kingdom manifest in your people, Lord God. Oh, have your way. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing, touching our bones. I speak to the bones of those who have problems with their bones, problem with the pancreas, problems with heart, Lord God, problems with the organs of our bodies. We speak over those organs. We speak to the bone in the name of Jesus, and we declare that you shall function in the way that God intended it in the name of Jesus. All infirmities, I speak to you. I command every infirmity in the name of Jesus that you must go. You cannot stay in God's people. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Now, go. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Lord, for how, what you're going to do in Chris's life, Lord God, as he asked for prayer tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that you hear our prayers, Lord God, that he will stay in your will, that he will do as according to, as the Spirit leads him in whatever position he's in. So have your way, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of the storm. We thank you that the joy that you have given us, that the world can't take it because it has not given it to us. And so we thank you for joy, unspeakable joy. Hallelujah. In spite of whatever circumstance or situation, because we know we serve a mighty King. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are our wisdom that's in us. Hallelujah, our provider. Hallelujah, we thank you, Lord, for everything in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, these prayer, corporate prayers, is not meant for me just to be the only one praying. And I just want people to know that if you're gonna keep coming, we, you know, it's for all of us to get in the prayer. Sometimes we have some groups come in and we all be praying at the same time. And then God hears us. He knows different. He differentiates our voices, and he knows what we our prayers are coming up to him, as we pray to him. Hallelujah! On behalf of others, your communities, or whatever circumstance or situation that's going on in your life. Praying in the spirit, in the tongues, Lord. We praying to the Father. He knows what we're saying. Hey, have your mighty way, Lord. So I'm just going to read this on one thing, since nobody have anything to say, and then I'm going to close out. I already prayed. I'm just going to close out. But listen to this. This is by Alexis V. Wolf. This is from one of her new books. This is about praying. As we begin this session, he says, allow me to prefix this book entirely content with the fact that few want to pray with faith and total release. I can prove this point by stating that if anyone who prays didn't, who prayed did so with faith, we all stop praying what we want and begin to pray God's will be done no matter what his will may be. We pray in fear and control, not wanting to give up either. True kingdom prayer requires not more work on our part, but its opposite, which is death to itself. So to pray with a kingdom vantage requires one to give up selfish desires, no matter how well intended they may appear to be. We pray in fear, hoping God will give us what we want, all the while dreading fear that he won't. We pray in selfishness, control, hoping God will give us what we want, but we're anxious, fear, because we maybe he will not, okay? So we pray in anger, hoping that whatever ails us internally or externally, God will swing things to our liking, though we fairly certain he probably won't. Often, if we're honest, we don't think he hears us at all or doesn't care. Therefore, we choose to attempt to control the situation and answer our own prayers in our flesh. So imagine if all God's people totally released their wants, needs, desires, fears, anger, and control to him. Imagine if we came to the throne of grace with a view to heaven and not the earth. Imagine if we came not with a fleshy mindset, but a kingdom mindset. And amen. And there's so much to that, because that's how we used to, you know, the more we come to this broadcast, I started finding out that this broadcast is mostly teaching people from the kingdom perspective about prayer. And so I guess some people have to wrap it around their minds and, you know, keep listening and ask God for the understanding of prayer from the kingdom perspective. And it's going to come from having knowledge of the kingdom. If you have no knowledge of the kingdom, it's going to be hard to wrap this around your brain. That's why he tells us to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. The more you seek it, the more he reveals to you. And that's how I started learning about prayer, because I started seeking the kingdom. And then God started revealing other stuff to me about his kingdom. So it's so vast that you can't exhaust the kingdom. You really can't. I don't care how many times and how many days we got left to teach and talk about this. And to live it, really, not just talk about it, we need to be living it. That we can't exhaust God's kingdom. It's just too much. It's so much. And so keep seeking the kingdom. Keep coming to hear how we are prayer is advancing the kingdom. Come hear how God wants us to pray to him according to his way, not man's, his way of prayer. And he told you, he even told us in Matthew 6, he says, take no thought of the things that the Gentiles take. He says, if you seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, all the other things shall be added unto you. So he don't want us worrying, but as his ambassador, seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness about his business, he gonna take care of your business. And so I hope that you learned something tonight. I hope you got something. I'm just gonna close out. I thank you all for attending. And next, Lord willing, see you next Friday. And we'll learn more about how the kingdom is advanced through prayer. Amen. I'm going to say good night to everybody. Thank you for attending. God bless you.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue and Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.